Hello, I'm James Sandy, and this is The Unseen Swerve, a deft pounce from the high wire of arts and culture from Birmingham and the wider West Midlands. If you're starting up again or hiding your creative light, feeling you'd like to reach out a bit more, you can get in touch with the show through our webpage, switchradio.co.uk/TUS. This time around, we treat you to a festival special as we marvel at the majesty and inspiration of Birmingham Indian Film Festival 2021, as it brings a fresh, hybrid concoction of independent and classic cinema from the Indian subcontinent and its diaspora. And we take an extended gaze and behind-the-scenes look at Tilt, the UK aerial and physical theatre festival running in its hybrid form from the 12th to the 23rd of July in Digbeth. For more information and links to the items in this show, you can visit our blog, theunseenswerve.blogspot.com. We start, as I mentioned, with physical theatre, the aerial kind. Confused? Well, worry no longer. I ventured out to a recent rehearsal day to speak to cast and crew from this year's Tilt Festival. I started with festival producer Kim Wildbourne. This is Switch. Okay, I'm really pleased to be here now with Kim Wildbourne, who is the artistic director of Rogue Play, the festival director for Tilt 2021, but also director of West Midlands Circus Centre.
That's correct, yes.
That's a long business card, isn't it, that one?
I need to rethink my title.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But let's talk about Tilt 2021, because there's some amazing things going on, and talk to some of the performers and some of your colleagues here about this whole idea of aerial and physical theatre. And I think people listening might not have a true sense of what that is. And it's quite an interesting mix of different styles and genres, isn't it? So help paint a picture there.
Okay, so we call ourselves a highly physical theatre company. So physical theatre is essentially telling stories with your body through movement or acrobatics or dance, however that might come out. For us, that involves aerial and ground-based circus. So aerial circus is pretty much anything that hangs from the ceiling. So you might think kind of Cirque du Soleil style, so hoops or ropes or silks or trapeze, but we use them again to tell stories and create characters. So highly physical theatre is just a theatre show that involves being in the air as well as on the ground.
I think people have an idea, don't they, of circus, which is changing. I think, you know, there's a traditional circus, usually animals and men in top hats, usually.
Yeah, but we don't do that.
You don't do that here. But you're a very modern circus, and what that means, I think, is you, and you've explained some of it, but you work in things like, you know, creative dance, but also the physicality around that. It's not just dance as a performance, it's actually exploring physical space physically.
Yeah, so we essentially, Lorna and I have worked together for, I don't know, about 12 years now. And we are both from acting backgrounds. And so for us, creating that kind of narrative physically is really important. So it's sort of using, you know, gesture and movement to ask questions and to bring things to light that need discussing. You know, we're very much about stuff that women are interested in, and, you know, advocates for women, and this show is about, you know, climate change and that sort of thing as well. And that's what we kind of like to tell through exploring relationships with characters and swinging around in the air.
Well, let's talk about that a bit more, because those kind of questions and that stuff, I think, are really important, because essentially there are, I guess, some quite big political questions that you're addressing. Politics in a wider sense, not in a party sense, but in the sense of looking at gender equality and looking at you know, the climate crisis, and looking at how we behave as a community. But also what struck me earlier on when you were rehearsing for the 80 Days piece is it was quite a frantic set of movement, but we've all got used to that kind of frantic movement because we just sort of compartmentalized it in our day-to-day life because we've had to.
Yeah, I think a big part of that opening was about that actually came from sort of personal backgrounds, I suppose, that myself as a mum of two, working under all those titles that you mentioned, life is often very busy and you're, you know, multitasking a lot. I think a big thing is that kind of childcare isn't really seen as a job when you're a parent, but of course it's a massive job and you're just sort of trying to get on with everything else whilst also being a good parent. So all those things kind of came into the characterization of it. And then knowing that it's being developed for outdoors as well, and to kind of keeping attentions of audiences can be more difficult because they're in big spaces and there's other distractions around that aren't the case when you're working indoors. And so, you know, really building kind of like larger than life characters and building that kind of clear gestural physicality that's quick and fast moving. But yeah, we've definitely kind of got used to that sense of like quick things changing now, I need more stuff, information.
It's that idea of trying to sort of manage chaos, isn't it?
Yeah,
sort of when you get used to that, that's a bit of a warning, I think. in some ways. So let's talk a little bit about what the festival this time round includes, because I think you said earlier on that this is the kind of sixth iteration of the festival. It's not quite the sixth year because of things that have happened, and it's the sixth festival in this guise. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening, because it isn't just physical performance. There is a lot of discussion, workshop, things that people can enter into, and it's very accessible in that way, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah, there's lots of discussions. We've got massage sessions happening. We have a pregnancy training during pregnancy, like informal discussion that happens. We have a circus breakfast where we kind of talk about young people and social circus and the work of young people and the kind of role of young people in circus and kind of developing new important work that's coming up. So there are a lot of like discussion sessions and seminar sessions on the festival. I suppose the biggest thing for us that's new this year is the fact that it's hybrid. So, you know, you can join us live as well as you can join us online. And that's really only come out of obviously the COVID pandemic, but that all our shows are streamed, live streamed, and they'll all be streamed in 360 so that you can physically move about. So just like you would on Google Maps, you can kind of move about the performance space so you can feel like you're really part of it. And that, you know, those discussion sessions are all Zoomed as well, so you can join us from literally wherever you are, you can join the festival. So it's the first time we've kind of expanded the Tilt family in that way.
It's amazing, isn't it, now that technology we kind of ignored, we now, you know, take for granted on a daily basis.
Absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah, and so many things that have come about that you think, oh, I didn't know that was something that could happen, let's do that.
Let's talk a little bit about the physical space that you're using, because it's new open space, isn't it, or it's sort of space that's establishing itself. Let's talk a little bit about that.
It is, yeah. So it's a place called Tea Works. It's just it's on New Canal Street. It's just up the road from West Midland Circus Centre in Digbeth. And so a lot of the indoor shows are being held at the Circus Centre, and the outdoor shows at its new Tea Works site, which is just such a great attribute for Digbeth. This new kind of very dedicated to the arts. The David who runs it, he's just put an unbelievable amount of work into creating this new fantastically accessible venue just up the road from us, which is amazing. So all the outdoor work on the programme will be held at Tea Works, and Tilt Festival is the first event that's happening at Tea Works, so it's kind of just being launched at the beginning of July. So really excited to be working with that partnership.
And let's just, people who are listening who want to get involved and want to come along to Tilt Festival, let's just reassure them in terms of the safety aspects, because obviously people are still quite anxious, quite rightly, I think, about COVID restrictions and the things that have to be in place. Just give us an idea of the things that you're working hard to achieve.
Yeah, of course. So we've got, for the indoor events that are happening, everything is socially distanced. We have a maximum of 45 audience members for our indoor performances. So they're very distant from each other and it's small audiences. The place is ventilated, people are expected to wear face masks, and there'll be on-site signage and lots of hand sanitizer stations. For outdoors work, again, it's a socially distanced space. It's a very big space, so it holds 2,500 people normally, but we will have up to a maximum of about 400 audience members in that space, so it's very big. And there'll be different events kind of dotted around, so nobody will be kind of congregated in one space. around the world that you were seeing today can be viewed from three sides. So we can, the audience will go around the outside of it. So there's quite a lot of opportunity to stay away from other people, but in a nice, fun, you know, exciting environment.
So just finally, for those folks that can't make it to a kind of physical event but are wanting more online or want to involve themselves in some of the online things, where do they go? Where do they find you?
So they go to the Tilt Festival website, which is tiltfestival.com, and click on the online tab, and that will take you to all the information that you need to know, and you can book your online tickets through there.
It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that.
Excellent. Well, Kim, I wish you best of luck for the festival.
Thank you very much.
And it's been great to come along, see the rehearsal and to talk to you. And best of luck.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Okay, I'm with Liz and Liam here in the cultural capital of Birmingham, I think. In fact, the world, some people would say, Digbeth. And I've been really lucky just to see a rehearsal of part of the festival lineup. And let's start with, for people that don't know anything about a kind of aerial and physical theatre festival, Liz, let's try and help people paint a picture around what that is.
Okay, well, I was involved with Tilt 2 years ago, and I was teaching acrobatics for that festival, and I created a performance to go in the show at the end of the week. So it's really about getting people together to develop their skills and swap ideas and collaborate and meet people and show what we're all doing, really, in the world of circus.
And it is, from what I've seen so far, it is very physical. You know, people often, I think, hear the word circus in relation to some of the things that are going on with the festival, but this is a mixture of wonderful things in dance and challenging yourself physically above everything else.
Yeah, Rogue Play and West Midlands Creation Centre are very much a circus theatre group. You know, if you're interested in the theatrical side of circus and having a narrative and a story to go with what you're doing, then this is very much a place where you might find you've ended up. Kim has recruited you as part of her team, and you're going to be doing some theatre for her. So that's part of what we're all here for.
And Liam, let's bring you in because you have an important role in all of this. You do a lot of the kind of technical light, sound, stage, putting it all together and making sure things don't fall apart, but also people don't fall off things, I guess. Is that a fair summary?
Hopefully no one's going to fall off anything. I leave that down to the performers to make sure they're holding on tight. But yeah, so my role is to make sure that the performances that are all indoors are going to be lit and sound good. And we've got lots of outdoor performances, so there'll be less lighting, but there's still going to be like a nice soundscape that accompanies all that. And as well as that, just logistically, so we have lots of different types of workshops going on for people of all ages and groups. And so making sure that the right crash mats are in the right places, making sure the right truss is set up and the right ropes are set up, and overall just logistically overseeing the festival for which this show is part of.
And there are more challenges, obviously, because we're still living through fairly challenging times. There are lots of logistical challenges that you've had to, I guess, adapt what you're doing in terms of the space and the show and the kind of program of things that the lineup.
Yeah, that's true. So had the lockdown been relaxed, we would have had some of the workshops been planned to take part inside the West Midlands Creation Centre. But as a result of the present condition, we're moving. We're going to go ahead as planned. We're going to keep all of the workshops happening. And some of those are now going to take place in a second venue, which is just up the road. So on the one hand, logistically, it's a little bit more complicated because we need to make sure that everyone's distanced and that everyone is in the right space at the right time. But we're going to push on forward and try to make sure that it's as good as we can do it this year.
Liz, there's also a kind of creative challenge, isn't there, in terms of, you know, the kind of restrictions and limitations that we've had to live through and are still living with. Has that been a helpful dynamic in some ways? Has that made you kind of think about what you're doing and how you're doing it, and perhaps brought a different angle to it?
I think as a performer on the show, it doesn't make too much difference, because we're working as a small group anyway, and we come in and we do our rehearsals pretty much as we would have done them. It's just what happens, you know, outside the door, if you like, that's different. Once you're in the rehearsal space, it's a rehearsal for Circus Theatre, and you know, we get on with it.
And is there something about, I guess, the rapport with an audience is always important in a performance, isn't it? And is there something changed there?
I think there's a change with the audience, yes, because you're likely to have a small audience, which pre-COVID you might have been a bit disappointed. You know, it'd be nice to have more atmosphere, more people. But I think it's likely that even with a small audience, we're going to be able to generate quite a strong atmosphere of coming together and enjoyment. It's going to change how you feel about small audiences, I think.
I'm keen to find out how you kind of got into this line of work, as it were, you know, in terms of how you arrived at kind of aerial physical theatre, because it's difficult, I think, to describe what it is. But did you come at it from other disciplines, from dance, or did you find it by accident?
Sort of by accident and sort of by design. I chose Birmingham University when I was at school because I knew it had a really good gymnastics club. They had a good degree programme as well, but I wanted a gymnastics club at the university I was going to. I finished my university studies with a strong acrobatic skill set, which took me into National Centre in London to do the circus degree. So I completed my training there. I started touring with trad circuses and, you know, getting bits and bobs of jobs there. Eventually, paths crossed with Kim, and I had already gone down a road of making circus theatre work by that point. So it was natural to keep working with Kim and spend time up here.
And Liam, what about you? Because I'm guessing a lot of what you do is quite specialist, in the sense that you've got to work very closely with the artists and with the performers. And it's quite different, I think, from a kind of normal theatre space, if I can use that term. You really have to live and breathe it, don't you, to know what's happening when the performance is going ahead.
It is still very theatrical what we're doing, so there's like a nice element of theatre and aerial. Some companies I've worked with use less theatre and it's primarily aerial performance. So I'm quite versatile. I've got many years experience of working with different types of people. So as I say, I specialise with artists who'd make light and sound installations. I work just with theatre companies, so we go into specific theatre venues, or I work with aerial companies making outdoor aerial work. So I think for me, once you've had many years of experience, it kind of just feels quite natural, depending on you know, what the particular company wants. So I get lots of variety, I think, in my work.
Just finally, I'm just keen to get your perspective. People that haven't come across Tilt Festival before, they don't really know what aerial performance is. What would you tell them about the festival in terms of getting them to come across? How accessible is it in terms of people that know nothing about this world, if you like?
Well, I think anyone who's capable of sitting down and enjoying a sitcom at home on the telly, you know, would enjoy coming in, sitting outside and seeing a live show that's, you know, family entertainment, and it, you know, it should be good fun, as well as hopefully interesting and informative along the way as well, and see something that sort of opens your mind and what the possibilities are.
It is fascinating, just in the rehearsal, just to watch. Every time you do that, it's a precision thing, isn't it? You can't really you can't really sort of adapt what you're doing, in terms of you can't make things up as you go. It's, you've really got to sort of apply yourself and focus in what you're doing.
Yeah, improvising in circus is extremely challenging. There are some things that just you have to set, you know, my left foot, then my right foot, you know, and be clear about what you're going to do. We do improvise a bit as we develop the show, but in the end, it will be a set piece. This is
Switch. We return now to our in-depth look at this year's Tilt Festival, with some further insight from Rogue Play co-director Lorna Meehan. Okay, I'm here now with Lorna Meehan, who is one of the co-directors of Rogue Play, who I think are the creative force behind Tilt Festival 2021. Now,
yes.
Lorna, I've seen you already spinning around and wearing a fabulous pair of glasses as part of the rehearsal. But
yeah.
Let's talk about that in a minute.
Cool.
First of all, let's talk a bit about Rogue Play and who Rogue Play are. Because as I said, they're the kind of force behind these great things that are happening.
So Rogue Play is basically me and Kim. So Kim's artistic director and I'm co-creative director. And we've been making work together for about 12 years now. And we've kind of, I guess, done quite a mixture of performance genre. So we started out just kind of doing, I guess, kind of physical theatre, original text-based stuff. So we always kind of liked physicality. And then Kim started getting into aerial circus. And that was when we really started to find our niche in terms of the things that we like. So we liked telling original stories and also adaptations of like classic stories using a mixture of narrative, performance, poetry, physical theatre, and then the whole aerial element really opened that up as well. And it gave us quite a unique skill set, and it kind of helped us, I guess, carve out our own niche in that we always liked the element of circus as a way of telling the story rather than it purely being about spectacle. So it was always part of the creative process with us to integrate circus into the story rather than making it the dominating factor, you know. So that was definitely our thing and has continued to be our thing. And we've sort of invented our own way of doing it as we've gone along. It's quite a sort of difficult thing to figure out like how it works, but we've kind of found our own way of doing it that works for us over the years that people seem to really enjoy. So yeah, I guess we nailed it.
And as a kind of genre, if you like, as a kind of a style of performance, it's certainly in the United Kingdom, there aren't that many centres for modern circus or aerial physical theatre. There are bits and pieces across the country, I think, but perhaps when you look internationally, there's perhaps a wider scene. Is that fair to say?
Definitely, yeah. And I think like another reason why, you know, we're sort of glad we ended up in Birmingham is that for that reason, that in terms of, you know, having a big kind of circus presence, there's sort of not as much going on there wasn't as much going on in Birmingham as there was maybe like, I think like London and Manchester and Bristol kind of have like their circus hubs, and it was really lovely over the years to just sort of carve out our own kind of circus hub here, and not only to kind of make our own work but also to help other people, you know, kind of learn and you know, kind of be a showcasing platform for emerging circus artists and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's been nice to kind of build up that reputation of the Birmingham circus scene, and then also the fact that we're doing something a bit different as well, you know, that we like to use like we've done stuff like adaptations of like classic plays, and we want to do a aerial Shakespeare at some point down the line. That's an ambition of ours. So we really want to kind of put Birmingham on the map for circus, which does things a bit differently. Definitely.
The other thing I notice about the program, certainly for this year, obviously it has to be different because of you know, the way we live at the moment.
Yes.
And you know, it's a hybrid festival, it's a mix of different things, but you do have that sort of showcase built in, don't you, for new talent or emerging kind of artists, which is really
definitely
important.
Yeah, and it's always been a really popular thing at Tilt. Like I think the second year we did it, I think the biggest crowd we had in, like audience wise, was for our showcase of young people's work, and yeah, it was rammed, and it was really amazing to see so many young people like discovering each other and creating work, and then seeing, you know, the audience's response to what was going on and what was coming up. And it's always really popular, and it's good for us to be able to give the generation coming up like a new skill set and to kind of see what they do with it. And it makes it really exciting for us as well, because it all inspires our own work. And it's been really great to see the young people that we've been working with in our own classes, you know, going on to do amazing things and kind of going, oh, and they learnt it here. And it makes us really proud, you know, that we've been a platform for some really, really talented young people, and that we've been able to show Birmingham, you know, what
what these young people are capable of. So, yeah.
Now, obviously, there are physical limitations in terms of what can happen at the moment, and there are certain restrictions. And, you know, there are digital elements to the festival. Has that been an easy mix for you? Or?
It's actually, in a weird way, like for Rogue Play in general, this past year and a half now, it's been very challenging. But in a way, it's made us more adaptable, because we only ever really dipped our toes into digital previously. And then it literally came down to, okay, we can't do anything. What can we do? And then we thought, maybe it's time that we did just kind of throw ourselves into digital. And we started to realize that's quite a few of our pieces that worked better that way. Like, we've just finished making a film of out of a show that we've had for years, and it's based on a poem I wrote. And weirdly enough, it always felt like it was a film in my head, but I never really sort of felt like that could ever happen. But now we're like, well, if there's a time to just try it out. So we got some really cool film people in that knew what they were doing, and they made it look amazing. And we're like, oh my God, we made a film, and we might never have done that without these restrictions. And I think that's helped us with Tilt to go like, okay, if we can't do a completely live program, you know, how can we use digital to our advantage? And in a way, it makes things like people being able to do classes with international performers easier, especially with the whole Brexit scenario as well. So it's been a challenge, but I think there's things that have come out of it that have taught us a lot about how we can use it to our advantage further down the line, to just connect with more people and new audiences and a different way of making work. So ultimately, I think it's been a good thing.
So just finally, just for people listening who might be a bit unsure or a bit nervous even about Tilt and what Tilt is, or even the idea of anything aerial, what would you say to them? What would you what's the offer in terms of the festival?
I think ultimately it's just going to be a lot of fun, particularly with our outdoor performance program, and particularly with this show. We just want to get audiences enjoying some great live outdoor theatre that's fun and has some, you know, important messages. But ultimately, if those messages don't resonate at all, and it's just about, oh wow, performers doing stuff outside, this is brilliant, we remember this, it sort of really doesn't matter either way. I think the main thing is that it will be safe, it will be a lot of fun, and like the good old days, and that sense of the being more to come, you know, this sense that we will get through this, and it is, you know, it's a temporary situation, and that ultimately the arts, even though they've had a really difficult time of it, you know, we're not going anywhere, and we will adapt and survive and continue to entertain. So it'd be great for people to come and be a part of that.
Well, I think that's really reassuring, and thanks for talking to me, and
no problem.
I wish you all the best with Tilt this year.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, I'm with Lindsay and Gemma now, just after a rehearsal from the 80 Days Around the World. A very interesting version of that, I think, which is part of Tilt Festival this year, because not only is it an all-female cast, Phileas Fogg has been, let's say, regendered, and also I think there's a real theme of climate action and looking at climate change that we really don't have a choice with.
Yeah.
Now, so Lindsay, help us with some of that, set the scene for that performance to start with.
So we kind of start, and the idea is that we're in this kind of like activist office, and straight away you get introduced to the different kind of people who are in charge of that office. And the idea is that Phileas, or as we're calling her, Philly, she's the top boss, but she's kind of so oblivious, and she's so particular in her own little world. Everything has to be done a certain way, that she's not really running the office at all, and it's everyone else around her that's doing so. And she has this bizarre idea that, well, she's reading the newspapers constantly and seeing all about climate change and all the problems that it's causing. So she kind of wants to, if she's going to do something, she wants to see it for herself, her own eyes. So that's what this kind of idea is, that let's go around the world in 80 days and see as much of this as possible. And she takes the gang with her, and it's seeing the world and seeing the different challenges that the climate crisis is bringing in different areas, and just exploring that and kind of addressing what we can do as just people, what we can do to try and make a change. So it's kind of a nice take on that.
Now, Gemma, let's bring you in here, because I think this is the second rehearsal, of the second full rehearsal. So as you go through that process, are there things you have to change and have to do differently, or perhaps cut out?
This play's been already done once, but the cast is all different this time. Lindsay was in the original cast. So a lot of it is changing, because changed the roles, and a lot of it is being devised as we go. So Kim is co-directing with Lorna, and she has her scene plans and she has the structural layout. But over this next 5 days, we are creating as well as rehearsing. You know, it's a sort of development process.
And the thing that struck me when I was watching the rehearsal is the physicality of it is extraordinary. You know, you really are putting in a lot of work on this, you know, and not only have you got to jump up poles and dive off things, there's a bit of that, I think, but there's also the performance itself. You know, there's the story, there's the narrative. That's quite a tough act, isn't it? So how do you approach that? How do you come to something like that and think, right, there's a story here to be told. How do we tell it?
I think it's just being quite open-minded with it is the main thing. So not having a rigid idea of how things should be done. You can look at the play and kind of take it exactly how it is. But we're not really doing that. We're kind of maybe taking a theme or an aspect from the play and kind of making that our own, and obviously turning it into physical theatre, and just having a play with it more than anything.
I think play's the key word here. It's a lot about play, and you know, there is a little bit of text, but we can use text in the devising process, but then we can get rid of that text. So, you know, you find what the story is, maybe using a bit of text, and then condense it into the simplest format and into just physicality, so it becomes clear just through physical movement. As it's going to be an outdoor piece, you know, we want the audience to be able to get a sense of what's going on without needing to hear a lot of text.
And that, you used the word fun, I think, a couple of times, which is reassuring to hear that. It's very much about that, isn't it? It's very much about, not just about making the arts accessible and performance accessible, but it is making sure that people enjoy it and have fun, but also
absolutely interact
with it. Is that challenging as well in its own way? Not the fun bit, but in terms of how accessible you can make it?
I think it's challenging to make a story and make it entertaining and be explorative and be... Yeah, it's a big challenge. There's a lot of things to think about. But, you know, we've all got different backgrounds, which I think really helps. You know, some of us have got acting backgrounds, some of us dance, some clowning. And it's like how that all combines to connect with an audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is really about engaging with the audience at the end of the day. So that's where it's really going to shine.
So tell me a little bit more about that in terms of where people come to this from, because you know, that whole idea of aerial physical theatre is something that I think people are still trying to get a handle on. They're still trying to work out what it is. You mentioned clowning, which is an interesting term, because you know that brings circus into the piece, and I think you know people's idea of circus has changed massively. And you know, modern circus is very different. But what were your backgrounds before you came to Tilt Festival?
Well, I come from a purely acting background, and it was at university that I discovered I really had a thrill for. I really enjoyed physical theatre and felt that's where my strengths were. So when I finished university, I kind of looked, how can I develop that? And that's when I saw more about the aerial hoop. Like, even then, I don't think there was enough or as much going on in terms of how to relay physical theatre through aerial techniques like the hoop or the silks or whatever. But yeah, that's how I kind of got into. I was like, I'm just gonna play, I'm gonna have fun and see what I can do that way. So yeah, I'm more of an actor than a gymnast or an acrobat.
And Gemma, how about you?
Well, I started acting and I got into cabaret. So I've been doing cabaret for the last 10 years and also got into aerial about 10 years ago and just really loved it. And I've always had a passion for clowning, so I've done quite a lot of clowning workshops. And again, clowning in the traditional sense is quite different to sort of the general idea of clowning. You know, you can wear a red nose, some people wear red noses, but it's more about finding the play and finding the game within everything that you're doing, making that connection with the audience. So that really fits well into physical theatre because it's about communicating things physically and just finding the joy in things. And I think that's, you know, if you find the joy in what you're doing, the audience immediately can share that joy with you.
And just finally, I'm just keen to ask, this is rehearsal number two.
Yes.
How many rehearsals do you have to do before the kind of the opening performance, or what's the ideal?
There's only 3 days left.
Yeah.
So we've got this afternoon and 3 days, and then we'll be into like tech rehearsals. So this week we need to finish.
Yeah, it's been Monday to Friday, 10 till 5. And then, yeah, that's it then. Once Friday's done, we've got a show. And yeah, we'll just be in for a few tech rehearsals before the actual show.
For more information on TILT, the UK Aerial and Physical Theatre Festival 2021, you can visit www.tiltfestival.com. That's it for now. My thanks to Dharmesh Rajput at Birmingham Indian Film Festival, Kim, Lorna and all the crew at TILT Festival 2021 and M7PR. Incidental music was supplied courtesy of Rogueplay. The Unseen Swerve is written and presented by me, James Sandy, as a King of the Buttons production for Switch Radio.